Hello and good afternoon, everybody. Let's get started. Welcome to this webinar. My name is Manish Parashar. I'm the Office Director for the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure. As many of you have heard me say before, our mission at OAC is to foster an advanced cyber infrastructure ecosystem that can enable and drive innovation across all of science and engineering, research and education. And a critical part of this cyber infrastructure ecosystem is the workforce, which includes students, researchers, practitioners, right? They form a real essential component of this ecosystem. And cyber training is our flagship program in learning and workforce development that addresses this critical gap in education and training for our current and future research workforce. It represents an important and growing component of our portfolio of investments and has received a strong response from the community in the past. It's also an NSF-wide program in the sense that while OAC is playing a leadership role, it includes involvement from the other directorates and offices across the foundation. So this webinar will focus on the current cyber training solicitation, and I'm delighted to welcome you to this webinar. So with that brief introduction, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Alan Sussman, who's the lead program officer for this program. Over to you, Alan.
Thank you, Manish. Let me share my slides. Okay, hello, and thank you for your interest in this cyber training solicitation. We're very excited about the scope of this program, as you heard from Dr. Parashar. I'm Alan Sussman, a program director in CISA's Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or OAC. I'm a rotator from the University of Maryland, soon to complete 2 years at NSF. NSF launched the cyber training solicitation 4 years ago to address a critical gap in the education and training space for our future and current research workforce in advanced cyber infrastructure and in computational and data-driven science and engineering. We've had excellent responses over the last couple of years since I started participating, with multiple awards each year that you can see via the NSF award search mechanism. Today, I'll summarize the key aspects of the cyber training solicitation, primarily pointing out highlights of the solicitation and several submission requirements. I have with me a few other program directors, and this solicitation has participants from many directorates, and I'll talk more about that shortly. After our presentation, we'll take any questions via the Q&A box in Zoom. One thing to note is that the January 20th submission deadline for this year's competition is a federal holiday, that's Inauguration Day. So the deadline is automatically extended by a day, and that won't show on the program page because of that's the way it is. Okay, so this program seeks to prepare, nurture, and grow the national scientific research workforce for creating, utilizing, and supporting advanced cyber infrastructure to enable and potentially transform fundamental science and engineering research and contribute to the nation's overall economic competitiveness and security. The twin goals of this solicitation are, one, to ensure broad adoption of cyber infrastructure tools, methods, and resources by the research community in order to catalyze major research advances and to enhance researchers' abilities to lead the development of new CI, and two, to integrate core literacy and discipline-appropriate advanced skills in advanced CI, as well as computational and data-driven science and engineering, into the nation's educational curriculum and instructional fabric, spanning both undergraduate and graduate courses to advance fundamental research. Let me note that for the purposes of this solicitation, advanced cyber infrastructure, which I will now refer to from now on also as CI, is broadly defined as the resources, tools, methods, and services for advanced computation, large-scale data handling, networking, and security to enable and transform science and engineering research. This solicitation calls for innovative and scalable training, education, and curriculum and instructional materials, targeting one or both of the solicitation goals to address emerging needs and unresolved bottlenecks in scientific and engineering research workforce development from the post-secondary level all the way up to the level of active researchers. The target communities at various stages of their career pipelines comprise undergraduate and graduate students, researchers and educators, as well as CI professionals. So as part of this program, the solicitation also seeks to broaden CI access and adoption, particularly by those scientific disciplines and institutions with lower levels of CI adoption, with lower levels of current CI adoption, and harnessing the capabilities of larger segments of diverse groups historically underrepresented in using advanced CI. Proposals involving these communities are especially encouraged. In the short term, the projects must either catalyze fundamental research in specific NSF-supported disciplines with innovative, scalable training and educational activities, or result in curricular or instructional material that is integrated into undergraduate and graduate courses, hopefully serving as templates for adoption by other institutions and informing best practices in institutional and disciplinary curriculum. That is certainly the intent. It's also the long-term goal that we are really excited about. The projects should aim to contribute to the larger goal of an educational ecosystem enabling computational and data-driven science for all scientists and engineers. This embraces computation as the third pillar and data-driven science as the fourth pillar of the scientific discovery process, in addition to the traditional first and second pillars of theory and experimentation. As you can see, we're trying to be very ambitious. The cyber training program is led by the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, that's OAC, in the Directorate for Computing and Information Science and Engineering. That's I'm the lead program director on it. And it has participation across the National Science Foundation from the Division of Computing and Communication Foundations, that's CCF in size, the Division of Graduate Education in the Directorate for Education and Human Resources, all the divisions within the Directorates for Engineering and Geosciences, the Astronomy, Materials, and Physics divisions in the Directorate for Mathematical and Physical Sciences, as well as the Directorate for Social, Behavioral, and Economic Sciences. Some of these directorates and divisions have specific programmatic areas of interest that are described in the solicitation, while others welcome proposals that broadly enhance their relevant research communities. Please consult with a cognizant program officer in a directorate or division if you want to address one of those specific areas. I want to highlight that one intent of the cyber training program is to stimulate co-funding between OAC and one or more science and engineering domain directorates and or divisions. Therefore, prospective PIs are strongly encouraged to contact the cognizant program officers in OAC as well as in the participating directorates and divisions relevant to their proposals in order to ascertain whether the focus and budget of the proposed activities are appropriate for this solicitation. So the cyber training program focuses on three different scientific communities, and they're listed here. CI contributors is the community of computational and data scientists and engineers who research and develop new cyber infrastructure capabilities, new approaches, and new methods. CI users is the larger community of domain scientists and engineers who want to effectively exploit advanced CI capabilities and methods to do their own research. And finally, CI professionals is the community of research CI and professional staff who deploy, manage, and support effective use of research CI. We now review the key provisions for the current solicitation. There are three project classes defined as pilot projects with total budgets of up to $300,000 and with duration up to 2 years. Those are exploratory activities that may lead to implementation projects. Implementation projects can be either small with a total budget of up to $500,000 or medium with a total budget up to $1 million with duration up to 4 years for either kind of implementation project. Implementation projects make CI training and educational activities or curricular and instructional materials broadly accessible to a significant portion of a community for one or more disciplines. Medium implementation projects also foster a community to catalyze the adoption of advanced CI methods or to incorporate training resources and materials into the curriculum. The last category, large-scale project conceptualization projects with total budgets of up to $500,000 and duration up to 2 years, are planning grants for potential future large-scale cyber training projects at the level of institutes. The product of a conceptualization project will be a strategic plan that is expected to serve as the conceptual design upon which a subsequent large-scale cyber training or related program proposal could be based. As I stated earlier, pilot and implementation projects may target one or both of the solicitation goals. Large-scale project conceptualization projects must address both goals. We again focus on these three scientific communities, and projects should target one or more of these communities. That's CI professionals, CI contributors, and CI users. An individual may serve as PI or co-PI on only one pilot or implementation proposal to the cyber training program per competition. The large-scale project conceptualization projects are not included in this limit. All proposals should have well-identified proposal elements that clearly address the solicitation-specific rubric criteria listed here, in addition to addressing the standard NSF intellectual merit and broader impact criteria. Reviewers will be asked to evaluate these aspects by addressing the following questions. The first is a rationale for challenges identified for research workforce development. The second is the strength of the project's plan to address one or both solicitation goals, namely broadening the use of CI methods and resources by the research community and or integrating skills into the institutional and disciplinary curricular and instructional fabric. Note again that at least one goal must be addressed for pilot implementation proposals, and both goals must be addressed for large-scale project conceptualization proposals. The third question is the potential for scalability and sustainability. And the fourth is the soundness of the participant recruitment and project evaluation plan. The fifth is the effectiveness of the proposed collective impact strategy to establish a coordination network and a backbone organization, or the effectiveness of an alternative strategy beyond collective impact. The sixth is the soundness of plans for fostering a suitable community. The seventh is the feasibility of plans for serving as an information hub and for creating information repository infrastructure. And finally, the eighth review criteria is the strength of plan to support and guide other cyber training and relevant projects in the overall community targeted by the project. Pilot projects must address items 1 and 2. Small implementation projects must address items 1 through 5, and medium implementation projects must also address item 6. In addition to 1 through 5. Large-scale project conceptualization projects must address all 8 items and both solicitation goals. I also want to make clear, as you can sort of see from this list of review criteria, that research and education is outside the scope of this solicitation. So in the solicitation, each participating division or directorate and or directorate has included its programmatic areas of interest. So since I'm in OAC, OAC is concerned about all three communities, cyber infrastructure professionals, cyber infrastructure contributors, and cyber infrastructure users, and both current and future generations. OAC encourages proposals on technical and research CI professional skills development for future CI professionals, as well as on skill refinement and career development for current CI professionals. OAC also encourages proposals relevant to the science and engineering domain directorates for training, as well as cross-training of the computational and data scientists and engineers who are current and future CI contributors in contributor-level CI topics, such as scalable scientific software development and modeling and simulation, and in advanced science and engineering domain topics such as domain-specific CI tools, data sets, and models. OAC is also interested in the larger goal of preparing the nation's scientific and engineering research workforce to ensure the workforce is well-versed in basic CI and computational and data science and engineering methods, tools, and techniques. This CI user workforce preparation begins with undergraduate students across all disciplines and continues to graduate students, postdoctoral fellows, and professionals, particularly in disciplines and areas with low levels of CI adoption. OAC also encourages relevant proposals with overlapping concerns with other OAC programs, such as, but not limited to, the Big Data Regional Innovation Hubs, that's BD Hubs, Campus Cyber Infrastructure, that's CC Star, Cyber Infrastructure for Sustained Scientific Innovation, the CSSI program, and Cyber Security Innovation for Cyber Infrastructure, the CICI program. We have from one of our engineering colleagues. They have a description their program of their particular interests in the cyber training program. The program supports activities that enable the engineering CMMI, that's Civil Mechanical and Manufacturing Innovation Division of the Engineering Directorate, and CBET, the Chemical, Bioengineering, Environmental and Transport Systems Division of Engineering, those communities to lead development of new CI that catalyzes major fundamental research advances in the CMMI and CBET related research fields, and more effectively use CI to address fundamental knowledge gaps for topics supported by CMMI and CBET. To finish up, I'll do a small number of frequently asked questions that have arisen over the last couple of years quite frequently, so we'll talk about those a little bit. Many Cognizant program directors could not be here, but their directorates and divisions programmatic areas of interest are in the solicitation, and we encourage you to read the solicitation carefully. So here are some of those frequently asked questions. The first one is consultation with a Cognizant program officer required? That's not a requirement. We can't require that, but it is strongly encouraged that you consult with me as the OAC lead on the solicitation and any other Cognizant program officer by sending a one-page project summary containing sections on a project overview, intellectual merit, and broader impact, and a few keywords at least a month in advance of the solicitation deadline, and include this information that you contacted us in a single copy document submitted as part of your proposal. The second question is, can my project primarily train or retrain for jobs in the IT industry? So talking about industry jobs, and the answer is no. All proposals, including cybersecurity proposals, to the cyber training program must be relevant to the scientific research workforce development and to advanced cyber infrastructure. So cybersecurity proposals, that means must be relevant to the scientific research workflow. This relevance will, of course, vary from undergraduate students to graduate students to postdocs to CI professionals and across disciplines. But the key is that it has to be scientific research workforce development. Our third and last frequently asked question is, do you need a small size implementation award before proposing a medium size implementation project? Or do you need a cyber training award at all before doing a large scale project conceptualization submission? And there's a very simple answer to that. And the answer is no. There's no requirements. This is not a progression. They're just different size projects with different goals. So this has been a very short presentation. This completes our slide presentation. And note that these slides and the transcript for this webinar, as well as an audio recording, will be available at www.nsf.gov/events, and will also be linked from the Cyber Training Program webpage in the near future. Now we welcome your questions. There are four of us here, including Mark Hurwitz, Joe Whitmire, and Stefan Robola. You may also email at the address shown here, alasussm@nsf.gov, for offline questions. That's me. And now please ask your questions via the Zoom Q&A box, and we'll do our best to answer them. Thank you.
Alan, there is a question about the number of KPIs that are allowed on a proposal, and I just wanted to check with you. I don't think there is any limit beyond what NSF is putting as a regular limit, I think, for KPIs.
That's right. There's no limit beyond what NSF allows, which I think is at max, I think, 4 KPIs, I think, is
yes,
the maximum number.
Yeah, in the PAPG, 1 PI and 4 KPIs.
That's in the PAPG. Okay, yeah. Good. Should I just try going through them in order?
You can. I would say if your question is very specific to a project, then you may want to seek communication directly with Ellen or with one of us and maybe set up a short call rather than have us assume things in providing general answers. So if you have a very specific question about your project, then that may help if you know we can talk to you directly.
That's right. Doing those through the webinar might reveal more than you care to about your project in the public. So we tend to want to do those sort of offline. So I see a question about envisioning open access entry-level workforce training institutions such as community colleges participating in the cyber training program in support of its long-term goals. And actually, as long as you can make an argument that there is research, that this is relevant to the scientific research workforce in some manner, then yes, you can do that. And if you look at recent awards in the cyber training program, there have been community colleges involved and other, and certainly non-R1 institutions for sure.
I see a question about the page limit on the proposals. Again, I do not think there is any deviation from PAPG.
No, it's exactly the same as for any other NSF proposal, according to the PAPPG, which is the project description is limited to 15 pages.
Thank you. I believe I have answered the question, but I see it again. Let me read it to you, Alan. What do you specifically mean about research and education being outside the scope of the solicitation? I will answer that. I think that you meant research in education, right?
Yes, it's actually research in education. If that's not what I said, and when I said that, that's what I meant. Research in education. This is not an education program. This is a training and research workforce development program.
Alan, what about scientific research carried out in industry, as occurs in drug companies, material science companies?
So research workforce development, there clearly is research going on in industry, but it would have to be shown that it's relevant and that it would be publicly available research. Right? It can't be proprietary research.
So let me piggyback on Joe's question related to research in industrial partners. And I see a question that is asking, if we are collaborating with industry partners, do we need letters of intent? And if so, is there any specific format?
You mean letters of collaboration?
I assume so. I just read the question, yes.
I'm going to assume that means, yes. So letters of collaboration are encouraged, and there is a standard format for a letter of collaboration, and that's for pretty much really all NSF programs. So the letter of collaboration basically only states that the collaborator will do what the rest of the proposal, the body of the proposal says that they will do as part of the project. The letter of collaboration is not a place to add additional content to the proposal. So the nature of the collaboration should be described in either the project description or in the resources and section of the proposal. Because it's sometimes the collaborator is actually providing resources.
Must all programs provide training at the graduate and undergraduate levels, or just one of these two levels?
One is enough. It really depends on the project. Some projects will focus on undergraduate education, education and training. Some will focus on graduate. Some will focus on both. And again, some will focus on professionals, right? So it has to be at least one, and at minimum, but targeting multiple of those audiences is also okay, but it has to be at least one.
Will this funding mechanism only support new training programs, or can PIs also submit to support pre-existing programs?
So again, there's no requirement that it be a new program, but it's you're going to have to show that the project will actually have an impact in terms of beyond what it's already doing. So that's what's going to be harder about an existing program. But again, if you look at some of the projects that have been funded recently, they are part of bigger programs, bigger projects that have been ongoing. So we have funded both kinds. Completely new training programs and ones that are continuations, expansions of existing programs.
So there is a question related to the focus of the program. Is it research driven or education driven? Which one is more appropriate for us to understand it?
That's not an easy question to answer. So what we're looking at is training and not research. You can't do research in education, okay? But we want the training to be relevant to doing science and engineering research, right? So that with using advanced cyber infrastructure, right? Again, so the training, the educational activities, curricular activities have to be in service of training and increasing the capabilities of the research workforce, science and engineering research workforce. So again, I don't want to say both, there are multiple activities, and there are many kinds of activities that can fall within that scope.
Here's a question. I'm sorry, just one of the questions says, for medium implementation funding in terms of the requirement for being broadly accessible to the community, how broad is this? Is it required to be nationwide or broad in terms of the material access or training activity itself?
I think that the community, in terms of a broad community, it's not going to be just a single research group. It's not going to be just a very small community of 20 or 30 people. There has to be a large community for a project. A medium implementation project can be up to $1 million in 4 years. That has to have a significant impact, right? And that means reaching out to a larger community than a smaller project. And that's really what it means, is that there has to be a community that actually will be impacted by the activities that are proposed. So it's just the scope of the project has to be larger.
Here's one that's a little bit related to that. While pilot projects are not required to address all the solicitation-specific review criteria, would it be helpful to address some of those to highlight their visibility or sustainability?
Of course. So the requirement is that the projects, the pilot projects address the first two, and then the implementation projects address some of the others, and that the large scale conceptualization projects address all of those 8 criteria. But that doesn't mean that a pilot project proposal couldn't address some of the other criteria, right? Because that just makes maybe a stronger proposal. So it's not a requirement, but that doesn't mean it's not necessarily something that you want to do as part of your proposal.
Several ask about targeting high school students.
So again, the main focus of the solicitation is on the research, scientific and engineering research workforce development. What that means is high school students are, that's quite early in the pipeline. So it could be part of your project, but the main focus should be on again, on students farther along in their careers, where they you'll have, it makes it easier to make the case that you're going to have an impact on the scientific and engineering research workforce. So it's not that you can't do it, but it's certainly going to be a harder case to make that, that you're going to have an impact on the scientific and engineering research workforce if you're focusing on high school students, which is similar to the question that was asked earlier about community colleges. And again, it's just that you have to make that argument that that what you're doing in terms of whether it's training or curriculum development, that it's going to have an impact on the scientific research workforce.
Ellen, I'm typing an answer, but I will also read the question. There is a question in which is one of the attendees is asking about examples of a good project. And I do not know if you want to give examples. I'm just going to send the link to the award list.
I was going to say, I don't want to highlight any specific project in this webinar. I don't think that would be fair to the other projects, a large number of other projects. And besides, naming them off the top of my head is not going to be so easy anyway. But you can do a search on for us recent cyber training awards on the NSF standard, the award search webpage, and look at the over whatever time period you want. This program now has been going for 4 years. This is the fourth year, so you can go back 3 years and look at all the awards that were made over the last, since the program began, if that's what you want. So there are a non-trivial number of awards over the last 3 years.
So I pasted both in chat and in the answers, a direct link to the word search, exactly focused on the cyber training. You can also access the same information from the program page. At the bottom, you'll see another link that says was funded under this program.
Right, the cyber training program page does have a link at the bottom. Unfortunately, it's still the program page is still pointing at the previous webinar webpage. It hasn't been updated, at least as the last time I looked at it, but that will be updated. There will be a pointer to the webinar page from the program page. And there's also pointers to the awards, recent awards, and to where those awards were made. And there's a map. Those are standard links on NSF program pages.
So NSF support programs that have an international component, or must they focus on the US alone?
So as with really all NSF programs, can only fund US-based PIs and individuals. So that doesn't mean that there can't be an international component, but you can't ask for funding for international participants in a proposal. That's not allowed. So the funding has to go to U.S. institutions and people at U.S. institutions. Again, that doesn't mean you can't collaborate internationally, but funding for the international collaborators would have to come from elsewhere, not from the National Science Foundation.
Ellen, there is a question related to, we noted that it would be helpful to focus on to focus on general questions, but in general, when you are building a pilot or when you're building a smaller project, can the PIs talk about plans for future projects, or how would they generalize for bigger things?
So anything like that that's speculative is generally does not, reviewers do not tend to look kindly. It's hard to understand what that really means because it's kind of speculative. So, you can talk about future plans a particular project in a bigger context of a research and education plan for, a longer term research and education plan. But in terms of evaluating a proposal, it's that particular project that the funding is being requested for. That's what's going to be evaluated as part of in the review process. So again, it may help set the context, but that's not going to be part of the evaluation of the project in the review process.
Uh, Can we support graduate students to help training activities?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Many of the projects support graduate students. Just because it's training and curriculum development doesn't mean this is something that graduate students can absolutely participate in. We have faculty, staff, the projects, again, funding can be whatever you think is needed to actually perform the activities that you propose to do in your project. Okay, we don't tell you, nobody's going to tell you who the right people are to participate in your project. That's really up to the PI and co-PIs as to how to allocate resources. Again, you do have to argue that's part of the budget justification as to what each of those people are going to be responsible for doing and why they're the right people to do it. So that's what matters. But yes, graduate students can definitely participate in these activities and some of the activities. That's definitely allowed, maybe a good thing in some cases.
So I have a question that I can answer. Do we have access publicly available priorly funded proposals? The answer is we do not provide direct public access. You have various mechanisms. You can reach out to the PIs and see if they can share the proposal with you. And there is also a mechanism through the Freedom of Information Act, but we do not have a server or website that provides access to the proposals.
Right. Proposals are actually owned by the PIs, not by NSF. The only thing that NSF owns is for awarded projects, the abstract and the title and all that, that is made public. But the proposals themselves are all proprietary. They're owned by the PIs.
May I ask if the proposed idea must use cyber infrastructure or if it is enough that our proposed idea can solve the concerns of CI professionals, contributors, and users?
So I did talk about that, and it's very important that that the projects actually focus on advanced cyber infrastructure, right? This is cyber training. That cyber means cyber infrastructure. This is not general training in science and engineering research methods and methodologies. This is about training people and using and developing advanced cyber infrastructure in the service of science and engineering research.
So I'll pick up another question quickly and then I'll stop. Is it required that the PI team members be from multiple research institutes or universities? The answer is no. Is there a specific portion of the budget that should be allocated for participant support?
And the answer is no, because if you think about one of the activities could be curriculum development. And that wouldn't necessarily have participant support. Of course, if you're doing training activities and you have people traveling to training activities, maybe not now, but maybe sometime in the not too distant future, then of course you can have participant support costs, but that's not required. Again, the budgets have to fit with the requirements of your project. And that's something that you have to work out with your institution, with your PIs, your co-PIs. That how to actually allocate the budget. NSF doesn't, the program and NSF don't require any, there's no requirement as to how to allocate funds in your budget.
Somewhat related, must all proposals include PIs from multiple directorates or fields, or can a proposal succeed with one PI from just one field?
Again, you have to make the argument that PI is capable of doing all by themselves the activities that are proposed in the project description. So, for smaller projects, you would imagine pilot projects, because they're small, both in duration and in dollars, are going to have fewer people involved than bigger projects, the small implementation or the medium implementation projects. There's no requirement for multiple institutions, multiple PIs. Again, your goal should be to have the right people to perform the activities that you want to perform as part of the projects, as part of your project. And NSF is not going to tell you and what that is. But you do have to make the argument, whoever you have on the proposal is able to do what the proposed activities are, whether it's training activities, whether it's curriculum development, that's what you have to make the argument. that the people involved in the project that you say are involved in the project are able to do what you what the project is, wants to do.
And this is actually written in the solicitation. I'm quoting here, and I'll put this in the answer as well. To ensure relevance to community needs and to facilitate adoption, these proposals of interest to one or more domain divisions must include at least one PI or co-PI with expertise relevant to the targeted research discipline. All proposals shall include at least one PI or co-PI with expertise relevant to OAC.
Yes, and that just sort of codifies, if you're doing something that's about advanced cyber infrastructure, just about cyber, advanced cyber infrastructure training or whatever, then you have to have somebody who does cyber infrastructure. If you have a proposal that's doing, I'll pick, you know, geosciences, you know, whatever, you have to have an expert in geosciences to do, if you're going to be training people in geoscience, advanced CI for geosciences, then you have to have somebody who's an expert in geosciences who can tell you what that training, whether that training makes sense. You also have to have somebody who's involved in advanced CI to understand what that means, be able to, so again, it gets back to having the right people to do what you want to do. And that particular part of the solicitation just sort of codifies exactly what that means in terms of if there's domain-specific parts, scientific domain or engineering domain, engineering domains, you have to have an expert in that area. You always, for any cyber training project, you have to, it's about advanced cyber infrastructure, so you have to have an expert in cyber infrastructure as part of the project team. Thank you, Mark. That was help. That was useful to point out that part of the solicitation.
So I see a couple of questions related to the definition of cyber infrastructure. So I will read them both, and then we'll see maybe we can answer them both. So the first question is, do we need to use already funded NSF CI, or we can build a new one as part of the grant? The other one is, can you define CI in the context of domain science? Does it include how to use the existing or develop code infrastructure to domain-specific CI?
So I'm trying to find how I just, there was a definition of cyber infrastructure. So we define it broadly as cyber infrastructure as the resources, tools, methods, and services for advanced computation, large scale data handling, networking, and security to enable and transform science and engineering research. If you want a definition, you should, perhaps the best definition of advanced cyber infrastructure is on the OAC core research program page. Again, maybe Stefan or somebody can put a link to that. Talks about the types of research, scientific research that OAC supports, and that talks about, you know, cyber infrastructure research. I'm trying to remember what the other part of that question was.
If there are specific things, you know, domain specific things, domain CI things.
So again, for domain scientists, the training could be in using advanced cyber infrastructure to do the scientific research within that domain. That's fairly typical, right. But it could also be part. So this is not a software development or a data collection program, right? So it's a training and workforce development program. So any software development or data collection is going to have to be in service of those goals, the goals of the solicitation. It doesn't mean you can't do that, but it has to be in service of the larger goals of research workforce development. So, because there are other programs that support development of software and data tools.
There is a question, I think I can answer it. Will AI-related techniques be considered as advanced cyber infrastructure? I think this is a loaded question. It really depends what you understand by AI. By the number of proposals, we see everything is AI around us, but you have to look at what does it mean with respect to the cyber infrastructure itself. So techniques running on cyber infrastructure that involve artificial intelligence may or may not be advanced AI.
Again, you know, advanced AI definitely includes, you know, modern machine learning and other AI techniques, deep learning and things like that. And how those are used, again, if we're talking about advanced cyber infrastructure, how those are going to be used in service of scientific and engineering research, right? That's what's going to matter in terms of any training or education or curricular development activities. It's all going to have to be in service of workforce development and for science and engineering research. So It's not just general AI training, whatever, things like that.
Joseph, do you want to mention the, I see one that you marked as answering live in terms of the educational workshops. Is the hosting of some kind of educational workshops considered essential to any of the proposal categories, or would curriculum development infusion be sufficient by itself?
So for the implementation and pilot projects, you can do one or either training or curriculum development, right? The educational fabric. That's what the, there's, you can do one or the other. For the large scale conceptualization projects, you have to do both. You have to address both. Again, that's very explicit. I've said that multiple times, and it's in the slides for sure.
What is the relative importance given to process versus outcome-based metrics when a proposal is evaluated?
I think that most people are much more interested in terms of evaluation and the outcomes. Processes are notoriously hard to evaluate in an objective way. But again, you have to make an argument. It's actually very important for the cyber training projects to have an evaluation plan, right? It's explicitly called out in the solicitation, an evaluation plan to show that, you know, whatever you do, you're actually going to evaluate whether and have some criteria against to measure success of the project. And that clearly has to have something to do with outcomes, because you could have the best process in the world, but if the outcomes are not so good, then something is wrong somewhere. So we do care about outcomes.
And I will add another question related to measurement and assessment. Do you need to see to have an education evaluator involved in the project? Again, this depends really on the project and on...
Again, it really depends on the project. Yeah. You know, it depends on the size of the project and how much effort you're willing to expend and dollars in your project to actually do the evaluation. If it makes sense within the context of your project, having an independent evaluator, potentially an education expert, is not a bad thing, but you have to decide if that's how you want to spend part of the resources in your project.
I will pick up another question. Can you define what an expert in advanced CI means? And this relates to the nature of the research that person has done, to the nature of the project that the person is involved in, and so on. So expert in CI means expert in the area that is covered by, let's say, OAC, for example.
That's right. Again, what it means is it's harder to make the case that a physicist is a CI expert, even if they're used CI a lot, right? So you have to make that case that whoever, if you're going to be training people using certain tech for certain technologies, certain types of cyber infrastructure, advanced cyber infrastructure, you better be able to make the case that person is an expert in that area. To teach it, you have to be an expert. So,
right. So to clarify an earlier question related to the evaluator, we are not advising you to have one or not to have one. And as such, I see a question related if the evaluator should be external or internal. Really, it is up to the project and up to your you set it up.
And be careful. It definitely should be somebody. It's best if it's somebody external to the project to actually doing the to actually performing the project. That doesn't necessarily mean external to the institution where the person is, where the people are doing the project. So you got to be a little careful about that distinction.
There is a question about and I'm not sure if I understand it correctly. Can you clarify the point made about PDF that should be included in the proposal or in the email to the program officer?
Oh, I think that's about, so this, I think that gets to, if you send us a one-page project summary, okay, which we're saying that's a good idea. We can't require it, but it's a good idea. Then in your proposal, you should include as a single copy document, a statement that says, I contacted this program officer as part of, you know, with my project summary and got feedback from them. Okay. This, or these two, right? This may be, you know, me as a OAC person and maybe somebody from a science domain, somebody from physics or somebody from astronomy or somebody from one of the engineering directorates. So basically you're just telling us as part of your proposal that you did this so that we don't have to go back through our emails and figure out, oh yes, this person actually submitted, was in contact with us. That's all. So it's just, it's an additional, yes, it would be a PDF document.
So Alan, I do have to read this question because I'm sure you would like to answer it. Can you define workforce, and does this only refer to industry, private sector, or does it include academia as well?
Oh, it definitely includes academia. It definitely includes, because we're talking about training graduate students who are potentially part of the future research workforce. They may go into industry, they may go into academia, they may go to government labs, wherever they go. The research workforce, again, is very broadly construed. Okay, but the point is that these are people who are eventually, you're training people who are eventually or currently doing research in science and engineering research, which can include computing, cyber infrastructure research is one of those areas, not the only, but by far not the only one. They're all areas of science and engineering research. But that's when we talk about research workforce, we're talking about, again, that's very broad, but people who are doing research as opposed to people who are doing software development in industry or, you know, IT or whatever.
Can one submit a large-scale conceptualization proposal or implementation proposal with a current cyber training project that's in its last year?
Again, there's nothing stopping you from doing that, but you know, you will, as part of any NSF proposal, you're going to have to describe your recent NSF projects. And so you would need to, you know, make a good argument why that the project was successful and why it needs to, why you would need to do a follow-on. The conceptualization projects, the large-scale conceptualization projects, those are really a different beast because those are looking at potentially doing planning for a much larger type of project. And so it's possible, but it would be a little unusual to propose one of those without having already had a cyber training or project or something similar to actually do some of the initial work on whether it's curriculum development or training programs in cyber infrastructure in research workforce development.
So I see two questions related to medium projects that they're not necessarily related, but they are related in terms of medium projects. So the first one is related to, for medium implementation funding in terms of requirements of broadly accessible to the community, how broad is this? Is it required to be nationwide, broad in terms of the material access to the training activity itself?
So I think we did this earlier. We did a question like this earlier. Maybe
it's the same question.
Okay, so I'll mark it. My fault. The other medium project is, do we need to include software release plans in terms of CI, infrastructure release plan, time frame, open source, license type of communities, audience, etc.?
That's not required, but if you're going to develop software as part of a cyber training project, medium or whatever, you should describe how it's going. First of all, why are you developing it as part of the cyber training program when not through some other means? And second, why, how you're going to actually reach out, how that's going to actually enable the research workforce development that the project is targeting. Again, this is not a software program. A software development program. So we're not going to talk about software engineering processes, open source licenses. It's something that's important if you are developing any software, but that's not part of the requirements of the program, of a proposal to the program. How many are we down? Do we still have any?
Almost. We have a few more, but you can start seeing them. We cleared them out for you, Alan. So there's a question that I can read it for you related to, I think, Joe, you're answering the question in terms of pilots.
Yeah, but you can do it live, I thought. Go ahead.
Pilot projects are not required to address all eight solicitation specific criteria, would be helpful to address some of those to highlight their viability, sustainability. And I think I already did respond to this or something similar to it.
We answered this.
Yes, and again, I'll just quickly, the answer is yes, you can, to make a better argument for your proposal, but it's not required, right? Again, the pilot projects are only required to address the first two of the solicitation specific criteria. That doesn't mean they can't also address some of the others if it makes sense in the context of that project.
So I see two more questions related to working with teachers. So I'll read them both and then we'll try to see if we can answer them both. Would working with teachers be possible too? I will ignore the training ideas part. And the other question is it appropriate to include activities, training programs for high school students and teachers in K-12 in the proposal?
Yeah, so I think again, this is, I did at least touch on this earlier. I think that going down into high schools and secondary schools or even below, the argument you have to make is that that's still going to have an impact on the research workforce, because again, this is a research workforce development program. So that's harder to make when you go farther down into or into secondary schools or even earlier in the pipeline. So I think that those could be possible additional activities as part of a project, but those shouldn't be the primary activities of the project. Again, because that's going to be a much harder connection to make to research workforce development. Is that the last of the questions?
Well, I was trying to answer it by text, but there is a question about a person asking for, one of the attendees asking for opportunities, grant scholarships available at the doctoral level. And I would say that this particular program, it doesn't offer scholarships. It offers, it welcomes proposals for programs. What we advise in general in questions like this is to really look at the funding opportunities available through the NSF website, find funding. It's sometimes daunting because you have tens of different solicitations, but you can search by keywords on the area that you are interested in. You can look at maybe a specific directorates focused on educational foundations to identify your area, or search through the awards on the area that it's aligned with you.
And if you're really desperate, then you have email addresses. You can try emailing a program officer in an area that you think is relevant, and they may be able to give suggestions, whether it's me or one of the other program officers. We can perhaps point you in the right direction. So,
perfect timing.
I was going to say, I think with that, is everybody okay? I think that was the last of the questions. It looks like all of you did such an excellent job of answering the questions and clearing them out, the ones that I didn't answer. So I guess with that, I'd like to thank everybody for attending the webinar. And I hope we will see lots of really good proposals that makes our life easier. So thank you.
All right. I'll go ahead and stop the recording and end the meeting.
Thank you.